Your testimony shall be the next. Your testimony shall be the next. If you believe your testimony shall be the next, shout the loudest amen. One more time, Father, give me a word. Give me a word that will change my life. Go ahead, speak to God. A word that will change my life. Father, give me a testimony that will be lasting. A testimony that will be lasting. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Very, very quickly tonight, I want to speak on the subject, Kingdom Financial Authorities. Kingdom Financial Authorities. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. For thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. That he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Our objective tonight is two or threefold. First, we'll understand the basic foundation for kingdom finances. Basic foundation for kingdom finances. Second, we shall see the examples of kingdom financial authorities, or what we had called kingdom financial apostles. And third, we shall see again God's purpose for kingdom finances. By way of introduction, it is important to note the following four things. One, everything on the earth belongs to God. That includes money and every deposit on the earth. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything on the earth belongs to God. Number two, it is God's perfect will for his people to control the resources of the earth. It is God's perfect will for his people to control the resources of the earth. Thirdly, supernatural supply. Now that place, the reference for that is 3 John verse 2. I wish above all things that you prosper and be healed, even as thy soul prospereth. Job chapter 36 and in verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. It is God's perfect will for his people to control the resources of the earth. Number three, supernatural supply or prosperity. It's not a promise to claim, but a covenant to operate. It's not a promise to claim, but a covenant to operate. That is, you do your part and God does his part. You do your part, God does his part. Until your part is done, God is never committed. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. You shall serve the Lord your God, for you shall remember the Lord your God, because it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swear. So it is a covenant. You do your part, God does his part. Number four, the most important thing about supernatural supply or prosperity is quality relationship with God. The most important thing about supernatural supply or kingdom prosperity is relationship, quality relationship with God. Quality. Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We read Job chapter 36 verse 11 already. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So what did we say in number one? Everything on earth belongs to God. Number two, it is God's perfect will for his people to control the resources of the earth. Number three, supernatural supply or prosperity is not a promise to claim, but a covenant to operate. That is, you play your part and God plays his part. Number four, the most important thing about supernatural supply or prosperity is quality relationship with God. What does quality relationship with God mean? First, there's 4A now. First, quality relationship with God means having a passion and a desire for God that is more than the desire for money. Having a passion and a desire or love for God that is more than desire or love for money. Seek first the kingdom, not seek first the money. Seek first the kingdom, not seek first the gold. Seek first the kingdom, not seek first the employment. A desire for God that is more than the desire for money. There are people that can easily not come to church because they have a business appointment. They can easily not come to church because they have something is clashing, something earthly. No, having a passion or a desire for God that is more than desire for money. Secondly, it means realizing that the greatest wealth on earth is wealth towards God. The greatest wealth on earth is wealth towards God. No man is truly rich who is poor spiritually. Nobody is truly rich who is poor spiritually. Who has spiritual poverty and bankruptcy. That the greatest wealth on earth is wealth towards God. That is where we're in the days when God is about to produce millionaires and billionaires. And if you look at them, you thought they were pastors. Until they told you. If they opened their mouth to speak. That the greatest wealth is wealth towards God. Thirdly, quality relationship is realizing, number three, that beyond this life, money means nothing. Beyond this life, money means nothing. No matter how rich you are, no matter the kind of car you drive, by the time you close your eyes in death, money means nothing. Beyond this life, money means nothing. That was the thought. That is, you are, I mean, they have confirmed you as the richest man in the world, and that doesn't move you as far as your relationship with God is concerned, because you know that beyond this life, money means nothing. Number four, quality relationship with God is realizing that judgment in eternity shall not be based on the size of a man's bank account, but on the strength of impact. That judgment in eternity is not based on the size of your bank account, but on the strength of your impact. What impact did you make on it? How many lives did you touch? Who is helped because you are rich? Who got saved because you are rich? Realizing that judgment in eternity shall not be based on the size of a man's bank account, but on the strength of impact, on your relationship with God. Quality relationship with God. Number five, quality relationship with God means realizing that money is not an end in itself, but a means to an end. Money is not an end in itself, but a means to an end. Money is not the end objective of pursuit. Once you got the money, you got it to do what? To show the world that you are rich? To become materialistic? One man came to my life, to my office, while we were in Area 1, and showed me his wristwatch then, that was worth $1 million. Hello? And he was not lying. He had the money. $1 million. That is like 500 million naira of today. That was on his hand, on his wrist. Nothing may be wrong with that. If he has had generational impact on the kingdom and on the earth, that is far in excess of that. Realizing that money is not an end in itself, but the means to an end. That is what quality relationship with God means. So, the most important thing about kingdom prosperity or supernatural supply is quality relationship with God. That was number four. Now, number five, quality love relationship with God will always translate into generosity and liberality towards God. It will always translate into generosity and liberality towards God. It will translate. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 to 5. Go on. All the way to verse 5. All right, let's shift it to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1 to 5. 29. Furthermore, King David said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, gold for things to be made of gold. Now move to verse 3. He said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good, silver, gold, and everything laid up for the house. That is, my affection produced my donation and contribution. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 7. 17, actually, when God tempted Abraham, if you love me, give me your son, your only son, Isaac. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and in verse 1 to 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. If you read further down, the Bible said,
First of all, they gave God their heart. Relationship with God. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. It will translate into liberality and generosity. Some time back, my wife was asking me to sign a check for my children's different things, school fees, this and that, accommodation and so on. And I finished signing it. And then she said, thank you for easily and effortlessly releasing this for the children. I said, why are you thanking me for the welfare of my own children? He said, oh, you need to know what other mothers pass through when it is time to ask for school fees or ask for this or that. You need to know their children. I said, no, I'm not like that. For me, if God needs it, except I don't have it. And if secondly, if family needs it, it's except I don't have it. I can trick, but they can drive if need be. So there is nowhere that love is real that it does not translate into liberality. It translates into massive generosity. That is very, very important. But we'll come to that later. All these are by way of introduction. Is that point number 5 or 6? Number 5. Number 6. The highest form of giving is the giving of one's heart to God. Is the giving of one's heart to God. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 26. My son, give me your heart. This is the highest form of seed. My son, give me your heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. When God conquers your heart, there is nothing about you he won't conquer. When God has conquered the heart of a man, he can conquer everything. He has conquered everything about you. That was what we saw about the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 all the way to verse 5. The Bible said they were able to give because they first gave themselves to God. The highest form of giving is the giving of one's heart to God. God conquered my heart many years ago. 7. The tithe is not just a giving, but an obligation for covenant connection. It's not. You can give first fruit. You can give other things. But the tithe is not just a giving, but an obligation for covenant connectivity. 8. Giving God one's time, energy, talent, and resources is an act of worship. Giving God one's time, energy, talent, and resources are acts of worship. Job 36 verse 11, we saw that. Obey and serve him, they spend their years in prosperity. Exodus chapter 23 verse 25, you shall serve the Lord your God and he shall bless your bread and your water. You serve the Lord your God with your time, you serve the Lord your God with your energy, you serve the Lord your God with your worship, and you serve the Lord your God with your resources. We will stop there on that note and then move to kingdom financial authorities. Kingdom financial authorities. Every move of God is accompanied by the move of resources. Every move of God in history is accompanied by the move or with the move of resources. Every time God moves, resources flow. So, listen to this. Seasons of spiritual intensity are seasons of financial plenty. Seasons of spiritual intensity are seasons of financial plenty. Every time there is a rain of power, there is also a rain of supply. Every time there is a rain of power, there is also a rain of resources. In Joel chapter 2, verse 23 to verse 24, Joel chapter 2, verse 23 to verse 24, it says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow." Now, the rain is falling, and then abundance is happening right down there. Fats and overflow with wine and oil. Somebody say aloud, amen. Every move of God produces two different kinds of authorities. Number one will be what you call ministerial authorities. This is the realm of pulpit and ministry apostles. Authorities such as Peter in Acts chapter 3 verse 6, Acts chapter 2 verse 37. Ministerial authorities who manifest in the realm of word, miracles, signs, wonders. And the second kind of authority you have is what I call financial authorities. Financial authorities, or what we had called financial apostles. And there are those that are both. This is the category of the Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple that walked in the realm of authority financially. Matthew chapter 27, we read it the other day from verse 57. When the evening was come, a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was a Jesus' disciple, he was a rich man, a financial authority. So spiritual intensity arrives with financial plenty. Spiritual intensity produces ministerial authorities and also financial authorities. Am I communicating at all? That is, people who are in charge in the financial realm for the sake of end time agenda, they are in charge. So there are authorities that push the fire, and there are authorities that push the finance. Am I communicating at all? A major reason for this Kingdom Financial Stewards meeting is the production of the second kind of authorities. That is financial authorities. Anybody who is in that category here, shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. You are in that category here. Shout the loudest, amen. I'll give you some examples of financial authority in scripture. One, Jesus Christ the master. When he was born, gold flowed. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, all the way to verse 17. They opened their treasures. Gold flow. He was born. Gold flow. Example number 2. Susanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's business manager. That's what one translation said. Susanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's business manager. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. The Bible said, this woman, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and of infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa. Joanna and Susanna. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. They were people of substance. Financial authority. I'm sure that the ministry of these people was the reason why the man called Judas Iscariot was a thief, but the money could not finish. Number 3 example, the centurion who single-handedly built a temple, a church, in Luke chapter 7, verse 2 to 5. For he loved our nation, he built us a church. Example number 5, the owner of the upper room. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 to 20. You will find a large upper room furnished. There, make ready. As the good man of the house, where is it that you have prepared for us the Passover? Upper room. I believe that that upper room was the same upper room where the Holy Ghost fell. Somebody owned the house. And it was a financial authority, a financial steward for the kingdom that made it available for use. Numbers 5, the owner of the donkey. Mark chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. You shall see a donkey by the junction. Lose it, and if anybody asks you, tell him the master needs it. These are financial authorities, financial stewards. Number 6, Joseph of Arimathea. We just talked about him. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 to verse 60. Number 7, the Shunammite woman. 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4. Let us take a break, take a shakata, kalagagadada. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us build him a house. The Bible called her a great woman. A woman of kail, a woman of substance. A financial authority. I see people rise out of here in this season and in this generation. That shall be authority. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. The spiritual, the ministerial authorities conquer mantles and use it to tame devils. The financial authorities conquer money and use it to conquer the devil. Did you hear what I just said? The ministerial authorities conquer mantles. Different apostolic, evangelistic teaching and several other kind of mantles. And use it to tame devils. The financial authorities, those that God positioned his wealth in their hands, they conquer money in industry, in banking, in real estate. They conquer money in finance, in engineering, in entrepreneurship. They conquer money and use the money to conquer the devil on the behalf of the church. You are looking blank. Are you understanding what I'm saying at all? Are you understanding what I'm saying at all? This is very, and like I said, there are those who are just in the two. This is very, very important. Somebody say a loud amen. So we said that when God moves, resources flow. The move of God goes side by side with the flow of resources. I give you three examples and then we'll move to the next level. Two or three examples. First, when Israel came out of Egypt, resources flowed. Psalm 105 verse 37. He brought them out with silver and gold. He brought them out. They left Egypt with massive resources. And their living Egypt was a season of revival. They left with massive resources. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. And there shall not be one feeble person among our tribes. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. Please understand that every place of power is a place of prosperity. Season of power is season of supply. Wherever the power of God is released, the supply of God is realized. As souls get saved in their multitudes, finances also get to flow in its millions. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Why? Because your city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Be spread abroad. The gospel is blazed on the face of the earth on the wings of massive prosperity. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Are you getting anything at all? I should have stopped by now, but the light took some time. So can I go ahead a little bit? The power of God flowed. And so that was an example when Israel left Egypt. Number two example. In the Acts of the Apostles, as the power of God flowed by the apostles, the supply also flowed. Acts chapter 4 verse 43. And with great power gave the apostles 33. And with great power gave the apostles the witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, that was given became massive. And anywhere there is a giving, there is a receiving, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Need was supplied. Resources flowed. Listen, the same anointing that saves the lost also delivers from poverty. The same anointing that heals the sick also delivers from shortage. The same anointing that terminates captivity also terminates poverty. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout amen at the top of your voice. When I say ministerial authorities and financial authorities, is there anything like the calling of a person to be a giver? I don't want to use the word kingdom financier because nobody can finance God. And nobody can sponsor God. But somebody can be given the responsibility of having resources pass through his hands. Is there such a calling? Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8 is giving a calling. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether it is prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of grace of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teacheth, let him wait on his teaching. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, not braggadociously. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, that is charity now, with cheerfulness. So we see two departments of giving there. Can you give me the Living Bible version of the NIV there? Of that same Romans 12. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So there are people with kingdom giving mantle. Everybody is a giver. It's a tither, all that. But there are those God is saying, I want you to conquer money to hold for me as a treasurer. I will send you to conquer resources. Then I said to you, I want to build another glory dome in Hong Kong. Another one in Indonesia. Another one in Mumbai, India. Brazil, major population centers. And then I place on you that giving mantle. Apart from any other thing you do, everybody pays tithe, everybody gives free will, everybody gives, but for you, you are my treasurer. This 1 billion entry in your hand does not branch you at all. This one is to be used to plant like 1,000 churches. And you are saying, Lord, here am I. As I'm talking, there are those who are aware that that is a line of their calling. That is, you have other things to do. But look at me now. By his mercies, without bragging, I believe I can evangelize more. That's an evangelistic mantle. I can pastor small and also teach small. Also prophesy small. Receive songs small. Sing it small. And also give small. When that mantle of giving is on your life, you can flatten your account without batting an eyelid. I've done it over and over. So understand this. So when we say that there is now, and you see, some people are afraid and say, oh, if that is my calling, will I have anything? Is it possible for a pipe to be dry that carries water? You become an envy of your generation. You see, the donkey that carried Jesus Christ was celebrated for carrying Jesus. When they put cloth on the ground, was it for the donkey? It was for who? For who marched on the cloth? And they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Was it for the donkey? But the donkey was enjoying his life as a conductor of the purpose of Jehovah. Please, I want you to find your place and find it on time. So that you don't compare yourself with other people. Oh, this person is not doing what I'm about to do. This person, you are not that person. We all jammed in this world. And we will give our accounts to God separately and individually. And the earlier you start the assignment, the better from where you are. I see that mantle multiply on people here. If you believe that, shout the Lord, say amen. If you believe that, shout the Lord, say amen. If you believe that, shout the Lord, say amen. Take your seat. There are biblical callings of giving
and hospitality. That is those who are to do welfare. Say, do it charitably. That has been so neglected. We see the prophetic, we see the teaching, we see the exhortation, we see the evangelistic. But those whose mantle it is, that is God or his kingdom, cannot be having a need. You are aware, you have it and you see it. Impossible. I give you quickly some examples of kingdom financial authorities. I said that of the scriptures already. But there are people in scripture also, apart from those I just mentioned now, that were authorities financially. Number one, Abraham. Genesis chapter 13 verse 2, chapter 24 verse 1. Abraham. I'm going to be fast because of time. Number two, Isaac. Genesis 26, 12 to 14. We saw the authority that Isaac walked in. Number three, Jacob. Genesis chapter 30 verse 43. We saw the authority, the realm of supplies and resources Jacob walked in. Number four, Joseph. Genesis 41 verse 39 to verse 45. The church of Jesus in this end time, we owe God the duty not only to possess ministerial or spiritual authority, but we must possess financial authority. Abraham was highly spiritual and yet very massive. That was Joseph, who controlled the wealth of a whole nation. A whole nation, the whole nation's wealth was in his hand. Number five, Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, we saw how Job controlled the wealth of his day. Number six, Queen Esther. Queen Esther was the queen of the Persian Empire that they handed over the whole of the estate of Haman to, transferred it later to Mordecai. Esther chapter 8, 9 and 10. Esther chapter 8, verse 2. We have number seven, Mordecai. Mordecai literally commanded the wealth of the Persian Empire. In Esther chapter 10 verse 3, he commanded the wealth of the Persian Empire. Number 8, Daniel. Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 verse 47 to 48. Daniel 2, 47 to 48, we won't have the time to read it. When the king bowed down for Daniel and made him a great man. Daniel chapter 5 verse 29. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Daniel. Number 9, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were authorities. In Daniel chapter 3 and in verse 30, we saw after they came out of the 3:30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They were controllers of influence and resources. Number 10, David. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 1 to 5, we saw how David talked about the wealth he commanded and used to build the temple. Number 11, Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 23 all the way to verse 24. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 14 all the way to verse 15. Solomon exceeded all the earth in wisdom, and gold came to Solomon. Others went for gold, but gold came to Solomon. The wealthiest and wisest people in our generation, they are not permitted to be the unbelievers. In contemporary times, were there people who were financial authorities in history? Yes. Number one, Mr. Kellogg of the Kellogg Conflicts, born again Christian, child of God, that massively commanded resources. Conflicts, Kellogg's Conflicts, American industrialists and philanthropists, founder of the Kellogg company, producer of various breakfast cereals, Will Kate Kellogg, aged 91. That is, the covenant gave him both prosperity and longevity. That was a sound, solid Christian. Number two, Mr. Cromwell. The Cromwell was the one who is behind Quaker Oats. He commanded financial resources and used his resources. You can show us his picture as well. His resources to impact the kingdom. That is Henry Persons Cromwell, American businessman and philanthropist, founder of Quaker Oats. He was aged 89 when he passed. Then we have Mr. Hyde, H-Y-D-E. He was the founder or the inventor of mentholatum. Mentholatum. Everybody uses, you use mentholatum in Hamatan. Albert Alexander Hyde, solid child of God who controlled resources from that invention and impacted his world. Then we have Mr. William Colgate of the Colgate toothpaste, the Palmolive, Colgate Palmolive, and all the series of it. He was manufacturer, philanthropist, founded Colgate Toothpaste Corporation. January 1783 to 1885. Age 74 years, commanded massive resources. We have Mr. J.C. Penney of the Penny Stores in America, also understood Titan. He went bankrupt when James Cash Penney, when he stopped Titan. James Cash Penney. We also have Mr. Matthias Baldwin. The Baldwin, he was behind the invention of the train, the Baldwin locomotive engine. Matthias William Baldwin, American inventor, machinery manufacturer, specializing in steam locomotives, this guy was massive in financial resources. See, God does not lack people. In every generation, whether it is in invention, whether it is in science, whether it is in medicine, any realm you go, you find God's people. Mr. Matthias Baldwin. And then you have R.G. Lotonol. R.G. Lotonol. He was the manufacturer of tractors, Robert Gilmore Lotonol, inventor and business magnate in earth-moving machines, 1888 to 1969, aged 80 years. He was behind the armored tanks and the earth-moving machines that the American army used in the Second World War, and several of that, solid Christians with massive financial resources. Then we have Wallace Johnson, co-founder of Holiday Inns. Wallace Johnson was co-founder of Holiday Inns, died age 86, he had massive resources that had under their employment 110 employees. 110,000. 110,000. Not 1,100. Not 11,000. 110,000. And used their resources to impact the world. Then you have John Davison Rockefeller. J.D. Rockefeller, the first dollar billionaire in America. First dollar billionaire in the world. Founder of Rockefeller University, Rockefeller Foundation, and he co-founded the University of Chicago. It's actually his university, but he decided that that shouldn't be named after him. And this guy will give $110 million out at once for the sake of the gospel. One day, he gave out so much money, like 100 and something or 200 and something million dollars, and the journalist came to him and said, "Why are you giving so much money out to charity?" He said, "God gave it to me. And I am giving it back to God. What is your business?" Beloved, if Jesus tarries to come, very soon, names like this will be mentioned. And your name will be among. That amen can be better. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, shout it like a believer. I want to give you, last week or last month, we looked at the purpose of kingdom finances and wealth. And I think we looked at like 5 of them, right? Last month. But I'm going to give you about 15 right now. Do you have the time? If we stop there, then we stop there tonight. Are we together? Or I can stop here? I'm just going to run through it. Huh?
Or if I preach that, I won't have what to preach next time. Okay, let me give you five. Let me give you some. Let me give you some. But if you have received anything so far, lift your hand and say, Father, thank you for what I have received. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Are we trying to make money for materialistic purpose? Do we want to show off to the world that we are rich? No. What are the reasons why supernatural supply must come to the church? Number one. Supernatural supply. Okay, let me use the word supernatural abundance. Supernatural abundance is God's will for his children. Financial abundance is God's will for his children. 3 John, verse 2. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Job chapter 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified that has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Financial abundance is God's will for his people. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. That's Psalm 37, verse 25. So, supernatural abundance is God's will. Listen, poverty is an attack on the will of God for the child of God. It's an attack. If God says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, and the devil says, I wish that you are a beggar, it's an attack. Existence in scarcity is an attack on the will of God for the child of God. The God of wealth cannot build heaven and earth with massive resources and then you spend your days in scarcity. Supernatural abundance is God's will for his people. Number two, supernatural abundance for God's people brings him glory. It brings him glory. God is glorified when his people are successful. It brings God glory when his people are successful and do well materially. But his name is reproached when we dwell in lack and depravity. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 9. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Supernatural abundance for God's people, for his children, brings him glory. Number three, supernatural abundance is a reflection of the character of God. It's a reflection of the character of God. God empowers his people in order to demonstrate to the world how he looks like. He empowers his people in order to demonstrate his character to the world. Wealth is a reflection of the character of God. I'm sure you know that wealth reflects the character of God more than poverty and scarcity. If you look at heaven, everything about heaven is abundance, is wealth. Hallelujah. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. When the queen of Sheba came to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 10, she glorified God. 1 Kings chapter 10, from verse 1 all the way to verse 11, she glorified God. She glorified God because of the wealth she saw. Number four, supernatural abundance facilitates spiritual focus. It facilitates spiritual focus. It facilitates spiritual focus. That is for somebody who knows what he is doing with his life. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 6 to 8. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 6 to 8. 1. Okay, I think I mixed that up. Right, let's take Joel chapter 2, verse 25, 26, 27. Yes, 26. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. That is, you will be focused enough if you are not in scarcity. If as it is, spiritual focus. Number 5, supernatural abundance is evangelistic in impact. Evangelistic in impact. Evangelistic in impact. Your prosperity, your success, your abundance will draw more people to God than failure and poverty. How many people want to follow you to church, see you pushing your car? People may hear what you say, but they are moved by what they see. The Queen of Sheba thing we talked about was 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 6. All the way to verse 8. Evangelistic in impact. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, all the way to verse. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Why? Look around you, they gather, they come, your sons are not at your side. Why? Because the abundance of the sea is converted to you. The forces of the Gentile, the wealth of the Gentile is coming to you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The truth of the matter is the number of people who want to listen to you and follow you to church will be more than those who don't if you have what it takes. Somebody say aloud amen. Number 6, and maybe I will stop at number 6. Supernatural abundance is part of the fulfillment of the purpose of redemption. Supernatural abundance is part of the fulfillment of the purpose of redemption. Supernatural abundance is a part of Calvary's purpose. Religious people may battle with this. One of the reasons Jesus died is to kill shortage. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Look at that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty. What? Is this in the Bible? When was he poor? They stripped him naked on the cross. They gave him vinegar to drink. Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He was slain to receive riches. You are born again. You have salvation. You have deliverance. Witches are not tormenting you. You have sanctification. You are living holy. You have divine health. You are not falling sick. You have longevity. You are not afraid of premature death. You have integrity. You are sure that you are going to heaven. But you have poverty. Plus all of these things. It's an incomplete package. It is not spirituality to accommodate poverty. There is nothing spiritual about scarcity. There is nothing godly about shortage. Am I communicating? Don't let anybody deceive you. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind from my youth that everything God has, I want it. I want fire, I want finance. I want integrity, I want prosperity. I want holiness, I want happiness. I want riches and I want righteousness. So that you can't look down on me for any reason. You know book and no book. You get to cultic power, I have superior spiritual power. You have money, I have money. Am I communicating at all? Stand up on your feet with a loud shout of praise. Devil is in trouble. Devil is in trouble. I don't know about you, but everything God has in store, I want it. And I want to stand before him at the last day to be able to say, everything you purchased for me on Calvary, I got it. I got the salvation. I got the divine health. I got deliverance from the forces of my father's house that say nobody should rise. I got longevity. I got righteousness. And I got enough abundance, not just to live comfortably, not just to sort me out, to sort my family out, to sort everybody associated, connected, related to me out, to mark the gospel, to mark the kingdom, to mark the kingdom tangibly. I want you to make a vow today. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. What is the meaning of royal priesthood? Kingly priest. Priestly kings and kingly priest. You are both a king and a priest. Many drop their kingship because of priesthood. And many pursue the kingship and leave the priesthood. He said you can combine the two. You can be very, 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 very spiritual and be very, 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 very financially loaded. Very, very fearfully loaded. You have so much resources, they fear you. There is an adage in Yoruba land that says you don't have money, you don't have power, your eyes are not red. Who will fear you? The power they are talking is juju power. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. You don't have money, you don't have power. That is, you can't threaten people and then they shake. And your eyes are normal. Who will fear you? So you need the money. You need the power of the Holy Ghost and spiritual redness of eyes. So that all the indices that can make them fear you, you gather them. If you see the devil, ask him. I have three of them. The power of God, redness, spiritual redness of eyes. Even at home at times, my wife look at my eyes, she She revives. She said, "Oh, guy is praying. Let me meet him later." My children said, "Daddy, is everything okay?" I said, "It's all right, I'm okay. Is everything okay?" I said, "Everything is normal." You know, anytime a pregnant woman is gisting on her way to the labor road, she's not in labor yet. She's looking at me and saying, "How are you?" I said, "Labor hasn't caught her." Real labor, who will you be talking to? "Hey, madam, how are you?" You just wave them and just go. "I'll talk later. I'm too loaded to talk now." So at times I'm preparing for service or meditating on something and red eyes. "Daddy, is everything okay, sir?" "Perfect. We'll talk later." Somebody say amen. I want you to make a decision. There is nothing, Jesus, I see, any money that makes only you comfortable is just survivor. You are just surviving. That is survivor mode. I got a car. I got a house. I can travel abroad. I have visa. That is survive. You are surviving. You are not meant to survive. You are meant to be a blessing. A blessing means it passes your power. What God has done for you is beyond only you. There are people, there are generations that are being marked by what is flowing out of you. Right? There are people being marked by what is flowing out of you. Individuals, institutions, church institutions especially. We are coming to a time shortly where individual people here, you will just carry individual projects. Say, "Pastor, I want you to help me dedicate Boeing 767, which is the new aircraft we bought for crusades around the world. And God led it in my heart to buy it, only you. And you will buy it and it is not a sacrifice. You didn't sacrifice anything. You can't call it a sacrifice. I was meant to leave Yenago at 2 days ago to Warri Port to dedicate 2 ships for one of our people before it was rescheduled. We landed in Bayelsa and then to take a helicopter to Warri, dedicate the ship, two of them, return back, and then before going and then the schedule couldn't work. Maybe we'll do it this week, maybe or next week. And it came by prophecy. Job given to them at the port, diverted to some powerful people in authority. Powerful people, I don't want to mention names. By the time the prophetic decree landed, 5 years they wrestled with it. Eventually returned back to the owner. I said to him, "You said how many?" He said, 2 ships. I said, "How did you buy it? You got some loan?" He said, "No way. All paid cash." Somebody say louder, amen. That is the phase we are in now. And like I told you, as the tide of spirituality increases, the tide of finances also increases. So just be sensitive in the spirit. I am just in the middle of this preaching because I haven't finished even the 15 or 20 reasons, and I won't do that tonight, so that you can sink in what you received. But you need to make up your mind. In this move of God, I won't be a beggar. I won't be an onlooker. I won't just be watching. Some ladies here, get ready, because God is about to do with you what will make some men to feel ashamed. Massive finances. Billionaires, millionaire ladies. For your information, there is no female Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. And it works both in men and women equally. Just like God is no respecter of person, no black or white with God. Am I communicating at all? He wants to to locate your heart so he can put some things in your hands. Between now and this time next month, you will be shocked what God will do with you. For the sake of conclusion tonight, bear three things in mind. You can remain standing so that we don't, in terms of walking in what God wants you to walk in. Number one, possess the revelation. The secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed belong to us. The things I have been teaching from last month till this month, I have mentioned to you Bible people, contemporary people, pick up this tape and let the revelation of it sink deep into you. The guy climbed Okada to church at Crossover Night in Gwagwalada. He's talking of multiple millions now. First time he met me in my office in the area, one church, he wants to build Dunamis Church in his village. So he doesn't have the money yet, but he's trusting God for it. Prayed an agreement with him. Then he came at him 4 million or 5 million at once at that time, which was like sacrifice to drop towards it. You may not look it now. Those who are there now didn't look it before. Nobody was born looking it. Am I communicating at all? There was nobody who was born that looked like it. That is why they despise some of us when we're growing up. We didn't look like we could amount to anything. Possess the revelation. Number two, possess the determination. Decision and determination. What God is doing in this season, I can't be left behind. I will be one among those who will build churches, who will set up industries, who will delete poverty, eliminate unemployment. I will be one among those. And you are at a level now. But God is saying to you, there are higher levels ahead for you. Possess the decision. A revelation. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 and 19. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose which one you choose is what will be. Possess the decision. You know, in those days, people used to make vow of poverty, thinking that that meant spirituality. You can make. My wife and I vowed one time, we shall have resources to impact our generation and to impact people. We told God, say, Father, make me a warehouse, a store for your resources. Just make me. I'm available to be a warehouse and then a channel of it. And it began to come. Everything began to come. Everything. Cars. Some people used to count how many cars they have given. I don't know the count. I know that in 1 month, this month, we gave out 3 cars. In 1 month, or 4, 5, just 1 month. I don't know the count. And it flows to me and it flows out. It just flows in and flows out. Suits. Anybody who is a pastor is dressing so well. Let me run a race of dress. You break your neck. Because I don't have the time of, I mean, except if I want to wear this type, then I go for it. But they come in mass, and they come in different sizes. Large, extra large, extra, extra, extra large, small, extra, extra, extra small, size 9 shoe, size 10 shoe, size 11 shoe. All my. One day I said, why am I getting sizes that are not my size? Then the Holy Ghost reminded me, you are not the owner of all of them. You are the warehouse. You said some time ago that you want to be a warehouse. So one day, a man came from America. He's extra, extra large. Both height
and everything. I met, when I saw that man, I remember what they used to call islets of Langerhan. in pancreas. It's a medical joke. Large guy. And I was giving people mantle suit. And I said, let me go to the storehouse and see if there's anyone that can size this man. And I brought one. That one can swallow me completely. So I brought it. The man wore it. He said, Pastor, as if they measured me. This suit that can humble any normal person, the man humbled it. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Because you say, like they measured me, I will wear it from here now. He had no need for adjustment. Perfect in everything, hand length, everything. So God brought it with him in mind. For example, you make that determination. Am I communicating at all? Possess the decision and determination. Number three, commence the action. Anything that can begin to make you command what God says. We began by saying, this thing is not a promise, it is a covenant. You fulfill your part, and God fulfills his part. Look at the usher that testified just now, that he thought that money was side money. That is not, I can tithe other money, but not this type. The moment he commenced the action, boom, something changed. Don't wait to get 1 million before you start tithing, before you start giving to the poor, before you start honoring the priest or the prophet or whoever is over your life, before you start carrying out covenant practices. Start from where you are. Listen to this. There are some people who said, oh, the amount is so small, I am ashamed to give it. That is what may keep you very low. It is not in the amount, it's not the quantity, but the quality. It's not the volume of it, but the value attached. Look at what that woman called sacrifice, 1,000 naira. The 1,000 naira that means nothing to you was her own life sacrifice. God did not see the size of the money. He saw the sense in the giving. He didn't see the volume. He saw the value. And that changed her story. When I started my journey, whatever I had to give my father in the Lord as an offering meant added nothing to his life. Added nothing. But I started the process. Our relationship got to a point where one day he looked at me and said, Paul, come. And he showed me, I think it was the end of the year. He said, this is what God has helped me with this year. And I looked at it. Wow. Really? And it looks like whatever you gave meant nothing. But that thing he showed me that time is history in my own little life, longest time. By continuing, just keep on practicing the practice. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. There are people here who wire their tithe on the spot. I won't even wait for service to come. I need church account, I need this or that, just on the go. And diverse kinds of givings. Just the violent take it by force. This thing must work in my life, so I must work it. One day, God's servant Papa Yedebo said, he preached a message on tithing. And somebody in the church said, I see. It is getting clear to me now for the first time. After about 21 years of being in such a church, he didn't understand. And yet, people from all around the world understand. Possess and be aggressive in the action. The first check that I will ever sign from my check, I can't sign another check out of my checkbook until the tithe check is signed. No expenses is permitted in my life, in the church as well, except that which belongs to God is released. It's not possible. Possess the action. And number four, men. The action, Genesis chapter 13 from verse 15. Lift up your eyes from where you are. Begin from where you are. For all the land which thou seest, I will give it, from verse 14. For all the land which thou seest, begin from where you are. And number four, maintain your consecration. Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Job's provision was tied to his consecration. You know what I mean? Whatever God does not give you, don't get it. Don't use crooked means to get money. All we are talking about now does not include Yahoo business, which is not a business. It's not. We're not talking internet fraud. We are not talking bribery and corruption. We are not talking do this so you can bring this money back later. One of the billionaires that came to give his testimony about 3 or 4 months ago told us that he stopped doing government contract long ago. Maybe he didn't know how to handle it because he said he didn't want any temptation. He didn't want anybody to say, bring this back. So he's doing his personal business. He has the largest fertilizer manufacturing corporation in the whole country. He owns it. He owns a private jet charter company. He owns real estate where he's 50% owner, and so on. He sells some houses, $5 million. And people pay for it. And if you don't have money to pay, go. This is not contract. This is my own. You need me. See? So, maintain your consecration. Don't ever allow any temptation to make you cut corners. Build a decent house. Don't inflate your profit and do shabby works that collapse and then people die or something because you wanted to make more profit. Or use electrical material that can set a house. I've experienced a house that can almost cut fire by bad electrical practices. There are houses that caught fire. It's not only gas or ethylene, electricity. Boom. Substandard, useless quality material in the name of somebody want to make money. God can never empower a fraud, a dupe, a crooked, corrupt person. We are talking of neat, tidy resources that make it rich and added no sorrow. In addition to that, men, when you start making money, it is not an excuse to multiply wives or women. It's no excuse. There are people, the same wife that suffered with them, that grew with them, that went everywhere with them, they are now doing some dubious things now. I was talking with my wife the other day. I say it looks like, at times, it looks to me like women can be more wicked than men. And I will explain to you. Between woman snatch somebody's husband and man snatch somebody's wife, which one is more rampant? Answer me. Answer me now. Between woman snatch somebody's husband, a man snatch somebody's wife, which one is more rampant? It's very, very clear. Because a man may be considerate in terms of But woman, one woman told a man's wife, The wife called the husband. The woman picked the phone. Hello, who do you want to talk to? That is somebody's phone. Who do you want to talk to? I want to talk to my husband. Shut up! Who told you you have the right to have him? You know what he told the woman? If you misbehave, you won't see your husband for another 3 months. Is it possible for man to say that?
If you mess up, you can't see your husband for another 3 months. Just try me now and see. It happens, right? A friend of yours. I'm telling you. He said a friend of his. I'm telling you, a friend of his. It happened to him. Pick the phone. Say, you won't see your husband again. Just forget the man. And all these things happen at the frequency of. They don't pursue poor people. No. No. You can't see. I just saw a Okada ride down the road or somebody carrying block. I want to drive his wife. No. If you want what God will do in your life to last, don't behave towards the people in your life, starting from your wife, family, and children, like a heartless person. Maintain whatever discipline brought you into what God will do with you. It is the secret of the future. Women, don't be angry with me. You yourself know what I'm saying is true. And some of you have suffered what I'm saying true. Somebody say a loud amen. So, possess the revelation. Possess the determination and the decision. Commence with the action. And then, let your consecration be intact. Somebody receive something, say amen. Amen. Somebody believe a new level has started in your life, say amen. Amen. You know, as you are going to live here, there are decisions to make, there are things to do, and there are steps to take, and I'm sure you are going to do that. Lift up your hands and your voice and speak to God. Lift your hands, lift your voice and speak to God. Anybody trusting God to be a kingdom financial authority, lift your voice and speak to God. 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 Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Elohim. Thank you, Elohika. Thank you, Elohino. Blessed be your name. Adoration be to your name. In Jesus' precious name. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Father, you are looking for somebody to be your treasurer. You are looking for somebody to be a financial authority in this generation. For the sake of the end time gospel, here am I am available. Open your mouth and speak to God. Here am I am available. Here am I am available. You are looking for somebody. 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 That will be an authority in the realm of resources. I am available. 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 Here am I, Lord. I am available. I am available. Mesta radicola managazayala. I am available. 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 Yes, Master. Yes, Master. Yes, Master. I am available. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and say, Father, open my eyes to see deeper into what you have spoken today. I have made up my mind to be one of those you can count on for your work in this end time. In the name of Jesus, Father, the grace to start from where I am, I receive it now in the name of Jesus. The grace to maintain character and consecration. I receive that grace now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we give you the praise and the honor for tonight. Thank you for a most impactful night. What a faithful God you are, making it clear to us that you are in the business of raising men and women for our generation that will do mightily in the realm of finances. Thank you, Master. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name. I wish we can place an email on the screen. There are many people. I don't know whether we live broadcasted the last one, but this is, I think, on Dunamis TV. Yes, and it's on all platforms. So there may be people watching for the first time and say, wow, this kind of teaching is going on. Yes, once every month we have this Kingdom Financial Stewards. Send us the impact of this preaching on your life by this email address you are seeing and also the phone numbers. And let us know how it has touched you and blessed you. And you can join us the next time. It's once a month. And also, if you are within vicinity, you can be here physically. We don't stop you from coming just because you are not a member of the church. No, you are welcome. And those of us that are here as well, feel free to invite your friends and your loved ones. August, the second week, second Monday of August, we missed the last one because of announcement. But August the 9th will be the Monday of August, which is the next meeting. August the 9th, which is like 3. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. It's actually three Mondays from now, 1-2, the third one, so that we can make up for the last week that we missed out. Invite your friends, invite your loved ones. But I believe that a new day has dawned upon you. Stretch your two hands in front of you. My God and your God will begin to surprise you financially. Before I make that decree, if you are here, you need to surrender your life to Jesus or make your ways right with God. You are here in person. Quickly rush to the front here and let us pray for you. Quickly, quickly. All right, let me do it like this. Anywhere you are, whether you are here online, watching online, or you are here in person, and you need to surrender to Jesus, pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus. All right, go ahead. Come forward. Come forward. One is already coming. Give the Lord a big clap as they come forward. Carry your Bibles and your bags. Now, so this can be an evangelistic meeting, actually. So invite your friends, invite your loved ones, and let them come. Tomorrow is a public holiday. Wednesday is also a public holiday. So the meetings are expected to be very buoyant, the healing service and the midweek service. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Asaba Healing and Deliverance Crusade. Also promises to be very, very explosive. Sunday, Saturday, the home church. But Sunday, we are going to break financial limitations. And all of us that are members of this, that are part of this meeting, that's right, is the third week of our Harvest Glory, and we are breaking financial limitations and embargoes. We come trusting God for the breaking of embargoes. I'm going to be making some things, announcements on Sunday towards certain things that targets that will be achieved before the convention and giving people opportunity to be part of it. Those of us who are part of this now, I would expect you to take the lead based on what you have heard in terms of being relevant in getting things happening ahead of the convention coming in November, the 25th anniversary convention. And I believe that your life will not be the same. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. Going forward, almost on a monthly basis, we'll be giving people different opportunities to do different things, because the covenant is an exercise. It is a practice that makes it perfect. You exercise, the Bible says, exercise yourself unto godliness. So you are made to exercise over and over and over and over. Okay, right. Get set, we're about to do this. All right, get set, we're about to do this. And get set, we're going to do this. And then you exercise yourself until it is natural. Once there is no call to give anything, yours flows naturally. For me, we have set a percentage of different givings every month. Whether the church is calling for this or that does not matter. This flows. And I believe that it is your portion. Place your right hand on your chest, all of you here, and pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Be glorified in Jesus' name.
I ask that the hold of the enemy be broken off your life and fresh grace be released on you in Jesus' name.